Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, joins us. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Good to be with you.
So, Guy, let's start out. Any latest on the PPP? Any more rules have been adopted, guidance or otherwise?
SBA is doing interim guidance, but they have not done the final rule. Right now, what they're saying is for the next 2 days, you can apply through minority financial institutions and community development financial institutions. So the process, if you want to go to Liberty and be with my friend Alden McDonald, they are able to process applications for the next 2 days. It's not really much of a leg up, but it was, you know, it was a nice attempt to give these folks a bit of a head start. The guidelines for the actual condensed forgiveness are still not available. If you remember, they were given until the 20th to write those guidelines up. So I think, I don't know if they're going to take every single day, but they are, they're still waiting on the short form forgiveness. So for anybody that is 150 and below, just stay tuned. It's coming. They're getting ready on the, they do have applications online for the second round. So you can access those, and I think that's important. You just can't apply yet unless you're applying through a community development financial institution or Liberty for the next couple of days.
So as it stands right now, most of the community banks are not accepting applications, or they are?
Well, we can't actually process applications, but the form is available, so you can start filling them out. And I'd encourage people to go ahead and get their information together. You know, there's some people that didn't, for whatever reason, didn't apply the first time around. You can apply for first and second round. So it's a chance not to double dip, but to get something that you missed. So the applications are available on the FDIC website. SBA has just not given us the guidance on how to process them yet. You know, last time we did it through a system called ETRAN. This time we're doing it through an online web application that they've developed. Hopefully that'll be a little smoother, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
So I thought ETRAN was new, and that was something that they had improved on through the first iteration. So now they've abandoned ETRAN?
Yes. We're not using ETRAN. That was their attempt last time around to streamline things, which didn't work too well. So now we're going to do an app-based process.
And are the individual banks going through training now on this new app, or is this
not yet because they haven't released it?
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I know there is some potential for a little bit of a delay this time around. I think they're much more focused. And in theory, they've worked to streamline this and make it more like the apps we're used to on our phones that actually work. They're sort of plug and play. But we're going to have to wait and see on that.
It's just a byproduct of this is not how things typically work, and they're still just uneasy about all of this? Or
it is, and I think there's several things that are involved. The first round was absolutely based upon we might have a global depression if we don't get money out quickly. So they realized there would be some problems. We knew that there'd be some fraud, and there was. They let fintechs do some application processing, and we now know that most of the fraud went through the fintechs because they don't have the controls that banks have. So that was one of those things that seemed like a good idea at the time, but maybe wasn't.
And that's these online financial organizations for the benefit of the listening audience.
Exactly. Not regulated banks that have to go through all the processes we do.
Right.
So that didn't work as well as they thought. The other thing is there were no controls. You know, you literally could not check tax returns or other information. This time around, they want us to do a little more in terms of actually looking at numbers. So I don't think it's going to delay the process, but I think it will eliminate some of the fraud. So they're trying to address a couple of things. Use an online app that might be easier, avoid the potential fraud, and get the money out more efficiently.
So at this point in time, it's probably safe to say that you guys might not be in a position because of their delays in processing applications till the end of this month, if not the first of next month.
I think they're going to work harder to get it done. I think it'll be toward the end of the month, but I think after the 20th, we should be in position to do it because that is their deadline, and I think they're going to meet that deadline.
And are the guidelines similar to the first round that once application is made that there's so many days that you have as a processing agency to kind of get through that process?
Well, they haven't done the interim final rule on timeline, but we expect it'll be the same thing.
Right.
You know, they once again want this thing to go out quickly. The other big thing is the second round, they're limiting the amounts. So it's only $2 million and below. They're not doing the very biggest companies. So I think that it will be easier to process and should go more quickly this time.
Yeah. So I'm just a little, I guess I have a little angst and anxiety as I think about those that really need this money, understanding the disruption of a change in administration, all well-intentioned people trying to make sure that it goes without a hiccup. But I mean, this is quite an undertaking, you know, when you have an administration change like this and, you know, the bureaucracy, as you well know, gets a little uneasy. They're trying to find their way, new leadership, new bosses, new infrastructure.
Well, and there's also a deadline. This has to be done by March 31st. So there's a tight window once the rules come out. So it's a tighter window than we had the first time around. And so March 31st, it's over unless they change the rules, which they probably will again. But it's an intriguing process, but I think they're doing the best they can to change it. But you're exactly right. When you change the people at the top, there is a bit of chaos because the underlings, you know, rightfully want to do what the new boss wants. And for a while, the new people don't even know. I mean, they don't even know where the elevators are. So, you know, they'll be struggling for a week or two just to figure out how to get in and out of the offices, how to use the systems. And, you know, in today's world, the systems are more secure. It's harder to log on. You know, everything is a little more challenging than it was last time.
Would it not make sense, Guy, to have participation by the incoming administration in the development of these rules? I mean, to me, worst case scenario is adopt these rules, disseminate them to all the lending institutions. New administration comes in and they redefine and rewrite the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. A smoother transition definitely would have worked. And you know, that doesn't usually happen when you go from D to R or vice versa. This one has been particularly disrupted. But, yeah, it would have been very helpful to know who the new SBA head was and to have them work together. But, you know, unfortunately, that window is open and closed.
But, I mean, is it too late? I mean, obviously, we're sitting here on the 11th. They got until the 20th. I mean, you know, some of this is going to be perfunctory, obviously, but some of it is going to be an ideological shift. And it would just seem to me for the benefit of the citizens of this country, they get this done once and for all and stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the recipients.
Newell, That reminds me of my civics class in fourth grade. And every time I go to D.C., I'm reminded that it's not quite that way. There are transition teams working right now. And depending on the agency, some of them are actually working pretty well together. And SBA is not typically political. So they're not as challenged as agencies like EPA, where you really do have a change in ideology going forward. I think both old and new administration wanted the same thing, which is, let's get the money out. Let's help small business and individuals.
No, no doubt. I mean, this is an unprecedented challenge that we're facing. I guess what you're hearing from me this morning, guys, a little bit of my frustration, you know, because any delay, you know, a week delay for some of these businesses could be the difference between them being in business or not. And I don't mean to overstate or or exaggerate the position, but I think that's the reality.
Well, it is. And unfortunately, because of the nature of our business in this area, we have a lot of people that are on that bubble. You know, when you look at the latest unemployment numbers, the New Orleans is 13%, Louisiana's 8%, and the nation is 6.7%. So we have a lot more people that are in a very challenged situation, a lot of businesses that are in that same situation, and they need help right now. And there's really not light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, no one has a time machine, but son of a gun. I mean, this was the year the Sugar Bowl was in the mix for the national championship. And does anybody even remember that? I mean, it should have been a big event, should have been a big opportunity for lots of people to be in town, but it just came and went as a TV-only event. And same thing, Saints playoff games. I mean, wow. Love watching the Saints play. A little nervous last night, but usually home games in the playoffs, wow, that's a big, big deal. And we're not having it. So everybody that deals with events like that, you know, from the people on the street corner, when you walk to the dome, I always love the entrepreneurs with their ice chest. And we may be the only city. I mean, some cities have people selling water. A few have cities selling beer. But this is the only city where you have people that I know of selling mixed drinks out of their ice chest as you go to the dome. And, of course, none of that went on this year.
Right. Obviously, still a lot of chatter about $2,000 in stimulus. More and more folks coming out. Joe Manchin the other day says he's still not going to support it. It looks like it would be a tight vote one way or the other.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned Joe Manchin. He is, other than Joe Biden, the most important person in D.C. right now, because the Senate is split 50-50. That means every single one of those octogenarians has to be there. Nobody can be sick. Nobody can be on vacation. Kamala Harris has to be there to break the tie. And you have to have Joe Manchin, who's a fairly moderate, maybe slightly conservative individual on board. And he's a bit of a traditionalist. Now, he and Biden are friends. They know each other. I think they'll be able to work together very well. But if he's saying he's not going to do it, man, that makes it an almost impossible uphill climb. Then you have to cross over and get some of the Republicans to vote for it. And that may be possible as well. But it's a real challenge for leadership and for the whips, because you just don't have many extra votes.
And it's interesting, obviously, because of that, a number of the mainstream media are trying to put him in a corner and reveal where he is on any number of issues, and he's been reluctant to do so in most cases.
Well, and he's right to resist that, because there's no benefit to him. He represents a small state, a conservative state. There's no up to making MSNBC happy, because they don't vote in his state. So if I were him, I would keep my mouth shut. You lose your leverage once you commit yourself. So I think he's really in an ideal position. But so are the Republicans that also could be swayed. The Lisa Murkowskis, you know, Mitt Romney. You know, you could lose Joe Manchin if you pick up one of those. And if the bills are crafted narrowly, it's entirely possible that they could come up. You know, it's interesting. There is talk about a big infrastructure bill, and I'm pretty sure that's going to pass. That could really be important for our region because we have Cedric Richmond, who is on the president's staff, who knows what our challenges are. So above and beyond the $2,000 stimulus check, we may have an opportunity to do a lot of repairing of infrastructure. And heaven knows we have a lot of infrastructure here that needs to be repaired.
I'm ambivalent about whether or not they will be able to get that passed. I mean, you know, already we're posturing for the midterms, right? Lisa Murkowski, you bring her up. She intimates the other day she may switch parties. She said she'd stay as a Republican. She runs in the midterms, if my memory serves me correct. You know, so it looks like everyone already is kind of, you know, weighing the tea leaves, seeing where things are, where's the wind blowing, and figuring out between now and then how they're going to posture themselves for the midterm election.
There's a real challenge with the new administration because it's sort of like throwing a bucket of water on the gym floor. You know, a foot from you, there's a lot of water coming out. By the time you get to the three-point line, it's not so much. That first 100 days, the first 6 months, you have a fair amount of momentum. If you don't pass things that the majority of the people in America want, by the time you get to the end of the first year, you're wrapped up in next year's elections, and your momentum is gone. So there is a lot of fear that if you don't pick the right thing, you can end up never having a chance to vote on it. And I don't know if you remember, but in the Obama administration, he had a period just like this, where we had majorities on both sides and spent a lot of time on health care but didn't deal with immigration. Well, he had the momentum, and he could have done an immigration bill, but the thought was, well, we can get to that later. Well, I think a lot of people are thinking, you know, we better pick our priorities carefully because we may not be able to get to it later. I think Lisa Murkowski would have a challenge running in her state as a Democrat, so I'm not sure that I see that happening. And, you know, when there's a balance already and you switch, you don't really get anything for it because you're not tilting the balance one way or another.
Right.
If Joe Manchin were to switch to Republican, I mean, they would give him everything. They would, you know, switch from maybe even give him a gold elephant for his house. I mean, just anything he wanted. He could be committee chairman of anything because it would flip the majority back.
Or the committee chair of everything.
Exactly. you can have all of them if you want.
You can have them all. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Stay with us. We're back with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, taking calls as to any concerns you have relative to PPP or SBA loans. Speedy, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hey, Mr. Williams. I just tuned in, so I wasn't sure if you'd already addressed this. But another really great source of funds that a lot of employers can look to now with the new this new law that was signed, is these employee retention tax credits, which can be a really large source of money. And I don't know if you talked about that, but it does have to do – it is worked in with conjunction with the PPP. Prior to this law, if you had a PPP loan, you couldn't get these credits. But now you can. And even though it's harder to get them in 2020 as opposed to possibly it's going to be also available for the first and second quarters of 2021, it is revenue-based like the new PPP provisions, but it can be some pretty large tax credits. I didn't know if anybody's been has been discussing that with you, but we're looking for a lot of that with our clients right now.
We haven't talked about it today, but you're very right to bring it up because that is an opportunity that people have to get an additional credit if you've kept your payroll up. So, and this is something that is a little bit complex. Your CPA is going to be your best source of information on that, but it's called the employer employee retention tax credit, and you can use it in addition to PPP. They're not mutually exclusive, as you say.
Yes, we've been running some numbers for some of our clients, and it's rivaling some of the PPP loans. But anyway,
yeah, we have some people that have been doing that as well, and it really is a good benefit, and it's something nice that they've done that is very helpful, and it does keep people on the payroll, which is great.
Absolutely, we need all the help we can get down here. That's for sure. All right, thanks, Williams.
Guy, maybe you know the answer I was going to ask, Speedy. So you get a credit if you've kept these people employed, but if you did so by virtue of receiving PPP, is there a charge-off for the amount of money that you received under the PPP, or you get the benefit of both? And
you can get the benefit of both, and I'm it's a little bit it's a little bit difficult to calculate, because what it does is it gives you a credit equal to 50% of the qualified wages.
Okay. All right.
And eligible employers can get immediate access to this credit by reducing their employment tax deposits. That's why you want to do it through your CPA, because it's not access. This is something that is not accessed through SBA. It's accessed through your tax forms, your 7200.
So you take this credit on current monthly payroll taxes that you're paying.
Yeah, what if you're eligible, you can get $10,000 in credit, up to 50% of their pay. So it is a nice benefit.
Guy, a number of texts coming in about the some of the previous SBA loans that they either extended or deferred. And is the due date, how's that going to work? Is it a balloon payment that you're going to have to make? And otherwise, are you increasing your indebtedness by virtue of availing yourself of this deferment? Or is that not built into this calculation?
This is actually one of the better features of the programs that they've come up with. If you have a 7A loan, your Uncle Sam will make the payments for you. I mean, literally, Uncle Sam is making the payments. They're not added onto the loan. It's not like a mortgage deferment where it's added to the end. They just make the payments. So it's just like going to your rich uncle and saying, look, I'm a little short. And he says, no worry, I got your payment this month. And that's going to go on February, March, and April of this year if you have a 7A loan.
And does that hold true? So it's only 7A. It's not something that's being applied to, like, EIDL loans.
No, and it doesn't apply to the disaster loans that many people got after Katrina and the other hurricanes. It's only the 7A loans.
It's only the I guess, for lack of a better term, the true business, I guess, incentive loans that have been offered by the SBA.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, because a number of folks have been texting actually last week as well as this week as it relates to that. So what if they also defer yet again, but they're not going to be making these payments in lieu of, is then treated like a mortgage would, where you're extending it out and in the interest payment is due as well over that extended period of time?
Well, for the 7A program, there's always been the opportunity to defer the payments, either interest only or P&I, if you have some sort of a problem. And that's going to continue to be available. You go to your individual lender and tell them what your situation is, and they can give you a deferment. But those deferred payments have to be made up. The payments that the SBA is making for you right now, they're just making the payment, and that's the best of all worlds. It's also not taxable.
Right. Also, folks are asking, I know we've talked about this before, but just to reiterate this point, some folks got an initial EIDL loan or SBA loan, and they're saying, obviously, the proceeds were not enough to carry them through the pandemic. Can they go back for a second one?
The EIDL loans are a direct SBA loan application. So, yeah, you can apply again, and it's going to be up to the SBA if they do that. But those applications are available on the website. No, I want to talk about one thing that we didn't mention yet, but it's time sensitive. Okay. The IRS has until the 15th of January, which is 4 days away, to make the $600 payments. If you have not received your payment, you need to go to the IRS website, Get My Payment. So Google IRS, Get My Payment. Some people changed banks. They have a different account number, or they might have moved. You have just a few days to make that adjustment. If you don't do it by the 15th, you have to claim it on your tax return. So I wanted to be sure and mention that because it is time sensitive.
So connect that dot for me. You lost me. Why would you have to, okay, if you don't get it, why am I claiming it?
Okay. No, you're eligible. You're totally eligible. You look at the guidelines, say, hey, I made less than $75,000. I should have gotten a $600 check. But it's not in your bank account. It's not in the mail. You have until the 15th of January. The IRS has until the 15th to make those payments. In some cases, the payments bounced back because someone changed bank accounts. Maybe they put in a wrong number. So you can actually go to the IRS website and correct those mistakes, but just for a short period of time this week. That's why I say it's really time sensitive. Now, if you miss it, it's not the end of the world, but it means you just have to claim it on your tax return.
Right. And these payments would be claimed on your 2021 return, right? Not your 2020 return?
Okay. Well, no, your 2020, when you file that, you know, this month or next month.
Right. All right, let's go to Troy on line one. He's got a question for you, Guy. Troy, you're on with Guy Williams.
Let me start off by saying happy birthday, Neil.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And the question I've got is, they asked, I looked for mine, and I might have missed it by listening to the radio. They said mine's automatically going to a tax return. They're not giving it.
It's already being applied to your taxes, or?
Yes. Yeah, it's saying that I won't receive the money. Automatically going to be a tax break for me.
Okay, I haven't heard that before. I've heard that you can apply and get it in your tax return, but I have not heard that particular message. So that's a new one for me.
Yeah, because we had looked it up, and it says it's going to be applied to your taxes.
Okay.
Automatically.
I guess that's better than not getting it, but you probably would prefer to have the check.
No, it doesn't bother either me either way. I'm just seeing if this is legal or not, or if this is right, or maybe somebody else might have got the money. I don't know. I'm just trying to find out what exactly is it that's automatically going to my taxes.
Yeah. Did you get that from the IRS website?
Yes, sir. According to my daughter, she looked it up, and it automatically told her that it was going to be credited to my taxes.
Okay. Well, if you got it on the IRS website, it's accurate.
Okay.
Hey, I have not heard of that methodology, though, of giving you, I guess it's going to be a credit on their 2020 taxes.
Yeah, I haven't either. And I'm only guessing perhaps some taxes were due, but I just don't know. So I don't want to speculate. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah. But that did happen the last time, did it? Did it not? I mean, there were some weird IRS rulings on how things were going to be treated early onset when we went through the first round of funding.
Oh, absolutely. There was actually, we didn't see it, but there was a knockdown, drag-out fight behind the scenes between the IRS and the Treasury, because the Treasury wanted things to be done one way and the IRS wanted to do it another way. So you really had the people fighting in the jungles. And finally, in order to clear it up, the Treasury had Congress rewrite the law to explicitly say it was going to be done the way the Treasury wanted.
Yeah. And that's possible that may be happening again. But, of course, things change because when the Congress comes back, and I believe they come back when, on the 19th or the 20th, if my I guess the Senate comes back on the 19th, the House on the 20th, things are going to be different. Leadership different, you know, in the Senate, and so priorities will be different.
Yeah, and I think the House is meeting today. I think it's the new House is actually meeting today.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I've been looking at some of the breaking news.
Senate is
obviously
a little later, but I believe it's the House, and of course they're you know wrestling with what to do on you know all the horrible events that occurred in D.C.
Right. All right, we get to a break. We'll be right back with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Give us a shout, 504-260-1870. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back, and we'll go to the talk lines. Charles, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
My question is, and if I haven't received my stimulus yet, and I'm going to start Security, and I get very little at that. But I'm also a non-filer. They said if you don't get your stimulus by the 15th, you'll have to file for it when you file your taxes. Well, that's going to be hard to do because I don't file taxes. I'm a non-filer, so I don't know how that's going to operate.
Okay. When you finish talking to us, go online to the IRS, get my payment site, and you can enter your information. They'll tell you how to enter an address or a bank account. A bank account's better to get it before the 15th. If you don't get it before the 15th, you're going to have to be a filer this year. You're just going to have to make an exception, go to one of the tax services and say, look, I didn't get my payment. I'm entitled to it. And they'll file it, and it'll come back to you as a credit. And in your case, if you don't owe taxes, that'll be a check.
All right. I appreciate that information. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Ann on line two. Ann, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hi, Noel. Hi,
hey.
Guy. I just wanted to let your audience know something. My son didn't get his payment, and he put it on Facebook asking other people. And his friends started saying, oh, I didn't get my payment either, but I know what happened to it. It went to the place where you file your taxes. In my son's instance, it went to H&R Block. So he went to H&R Block, and sure enough, they had his payment. So I wanted to let you tell your audience that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. And if he wasn't using direct deposit to a checking account, that could happen. So that's a good place to look.
He was using direct deposit. He got his first one, but he didn't get the second one. And he said, I don't understand why it went to H&R Block. But anyway, and three of his other friends, the same thing happened. So I just wanted to put that out there for people to check that out.
Glad you did. Sounds like a little glitch, but it's a good way to look. The other thing is prior addresses if you've moved.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ann, for that. Another source to check, for sure. Let's go to David. David, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a unique situation. As you know, the IRS is really swamped, and I had an experience. I didn't file my 2019 return to after the pandemic started. And you know, as you know, when the first round of stimulus came out, they were putting everybody on that and processing returns real slow and so forth and so on. And I got the first stimulus based on getting Social Security, even because it didn't matter if I filed. I got it pretty timely. But this time, when I go to where's my stimulus, it's not even showing up. It's basically saying we don't have any information. And it's kind of concerning me because actually, I filed my 2019 return, which is a refund return, way back in September. And rarely can I get through the IRS. But last time I did, they say they show no record of it showing up, but don't file a duplicate yet. But that's concerning me that, well, am I going to keep waiting to file a duplicate? So I'm wondering if that's tied into the stimulus. Do you have any suggestions or any ideas, or does that matter since I get Social Security, I will get the $600?
You should get the $600 anyway because you're getting Social Security, and it should show up. Is your Social Security coming to a bank account?
Yeah, it's a direct deposit.
Yeah, it should come as a direct deposit. If it doesn't come by tomorrow, though, I'd go back on the IRS website and enter your info and see what they say.
Well, that's my concern. Let me ask you, because they keep saying, well, you know, don't do that. If you get Social Security, don't file duplicates. But do you think that would cause more harm than good, or it doesn't matter? It's best to do that if you don't receive it by the 15th.
Well, I'd file it if you haven't received it by the 15th. But on the website, they should show you where it went.
Where it went?
Where your stimulus check went, the second stimulus check.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't changed my banking information. I don't think right now the site's saying they don't have any information to even say if I'm getting it or when I'm getting it. They show the $1,200. But I'll do that. I'll take your advice. Then if it's not by the 15th, I'll go ahead and go there. I appreciate it.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you so much for the call, David. Appreciate it. Guy, I'm getting a bunch of texts. People are describing all kinds of different ways that they're getting their money. First time, direct deposit. Second time, they received it in the mail. H&R Block is authorized to take out their fees after tax check to H&R Block is received. If they receive the stimulus check first, they take it out of there. So it seems as though there are any number of situations that are going on here. A little confusing, quite frankly.
And they're sending some debit cards. Some people are getting it in the form of, it looks like a credit card, but it's actually an ATM card. So, yeah, they're sending it out all kinds of different ways, and it's not consistent. You would think whatever you got last time would be the same. That's not the case that we've seen with our customers.
Yeah. I hope that let me just say final thoughts for you. I just hope that we are able to, prior to January 20th, start getting these applications in and getting them processed, because it's just so many people that are really hurting.
Well, they are, and I think the biggest thing is there's some time-sensitive things that need to be done. Check that site. If you haven't gotten your payment, go to the IRS website and check it. You can download your PPP application for round two right now. It can't be processed yet, but it can be. You can go ahead and get the information together, and that's going to speed up getting that. So that's the second thing I would do. And then I'd look on the IRS website, if I'm an employer, on that earned income, that employee retention credit, because that's a benefit as well. And those are all little process things that need to be done. The other one is the shuttered venue, and we talked about it last time, but yep. That program is probably going to run out of money. It's an SBA program. You need to apply on the SBA website, but that's somewhat time sensitive, so I would go ahead and do that as well.
No, absolutely. And any fraud examples this time?
Yeah, it's intriguing what people will do. David Crowther was a roofer in Arizona and applied for $1.5 million of PPP money, got it, and he bought an Invincible catamaran. But in order to also be green, he bought a Tesla. So
there you go.
He was stepping up.
The Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is alive and well.
Yeah, the other one, you have one more second. Joseph Cherry was on parole and applied for PPP, got $140,000, spent it on jewelry and a trip. And you know what he was on parole for? SBA fraud.
Oh, jeez. Oh, you cannot make this stuff up. Guy Williams, thank you so much for spending this time with us. As always, we truly appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to talk to you. See you.
All righty. Have a great week. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.